Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to come together today to praise you, to worship you, to exalt your holy name. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us today. We thank you that you are walking among us. You are in us. You are living in us. You have promised that if we receive you, you would come, and you and the Father would come and live within us. Make your home in us. And Lord, we thank you that you are in each one, every one of us. And when we gather together in your name, that your presence is here, Lord Jesus. That your Spirit is here. That your Spirit is moving among us, drawing us into this time together in worshiping you and getting to know you more. Lord Jesus, that is the prayer of our hearts today, that we would know you more, that we would know you, that we would experience your presence, that we would be able to rise above all the circumstances of our life because you are walking with us. You are the source of our joy, our gratitude, and our thanksgiving every day. Lord, we know that life is hard. We know that life throws at us all kinds of circumstances that seek to pull and push and cause us to despair and get discouraged or resigned, that things cannot get any better. But yet, Lord, in the midst of all of the difficulties, in the midst of all of the struggles, as we were reminded just a few moments ago, Lord, you are good. You are good. You are good. That you continue to pour out your love on us. You continue to pour out your strength into us. You continue to help us to be able to walk through life with joy, even in the midst of difficulties and struggles. And for that, Lord, for your presence with us, we are deeply, deeply thankful today. And so, Lord, as we come together on this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, it's not just the only time in the year that we offer up our praise and our thanks to you, but Lord, this is a day that we are just, as a culture, reminded that thankfulness, gratitude is so important in how we live with you. Oh, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. So help us in this time of studying your word today just to be thankful. Lord, no other agenda today, Lord, but other than just to reflect and marvel in how thankful we are for your presence in our lives. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to move into us today, Lord. Just open our hearts, open our minds, that we might be able to receive from you today the word of truth that will help us to walk with you with gratitude, with hearts that are overflowing with thanksgiving at who you are. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for all your good blessings to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. So this morning, as we come together on this Thanksgiving Sunday, you know, I'm always aware as a pastor, as a preacher, that, you know, on days like this, on special occasions like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving, it's always good just to step out of wherever we have been in our preaching series or whatever and just focus on the day. Because it's a reminder to us today, this Thanksgiving Sunday, as to how deeply thankful we are for who God is. I mean, that's how I roll in my life every day. because I am just so full of thanksgiving to God for where he has brought me in my life and how he has sustained me along the way. So this morning, what I'd like us to think about is the question, what are you thankful for today? What are you thankful for? Keep that in the back of your mind as we're going through this message today. What are you thankful for? And if you were to take some time either today or over the weekend or actually every day, you can do it every day. And it, you know, how many of you have what's called a gratitude journal or a thankfulness journal? Yeah? Yeah, some people take every day at the end of the day just to reflect back and just write a few things as in terms of what you are thankful for to God for that day and keep a record of it. Just keep a journal. You know, that's one thing. But you know, if you're not in the habit of doing that, if you were to take some time today or over this weekend and you were to write a letter to God telling him everything that you are thankful for, how would that letter go for you? How would it go? Just think about it in your mind. Would you be listing all of the things that God has provided for you? You know, is that where your mind would go right away? You know, like your house, I'm thankful, Lord, for the house, for the car, for the food, for the clothing, all the things that you've provided for, all my stuff. Lord, is that where your mind would go in terms of writing this letter? All the stuff that God's given you. Or would it be, you know, an expression of thanks for your family? You know, family things, friends, relationships within your community. Would that be where your mind goes first and what you notice every day about how thankful you are? Or would it be more, would things be on the surface? You know, all the surface things that we're thankful for, or would you be someone who, you know, would express your deepest thoughts and your deepest reflections to God in terms of your thankfulness? Like going real deep, not just all the surface stuff, but real deep. What would it be? What would that letter be like for you? Just think about that. What are you thankful for today? You know, over the last little while, I've been reading through the Psalms, through some of the Psalms, and one of the Psalms that's one of my favorites is Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I really believe, you know, as I've been looking at it, is a psalm in which David expresses his deepest thanks to God, not just on a surface level or, you know, just all the stuff kind of things, but when David thinks about his expression of thanks to God, he does so in a very beautiful and reflective way in this Psalm 139. Psalm 139, you know, as David wrote a lot of the Psalms, right, in the scriptures. And so, you know, when we think about David, he had, you know, when he was a shepherd, he had a lot of time to sit and reflect on the goodness of God. And as he was reflecting on the goodness of God in the night, in the evenings, as he was watching over the sheep, I'm sure he took out his harp and he started to play and sing the praises of God. And as you know, he was like Emily, I'm sure when you're trying to work out some of the worship stuff, you know, you pick on the guitar or you play on the harp and you're just kind of trying to figure it all out, or a song comes to mind. And with David, that's what it was. A song would come to mind and words of praise would start to come out and he would just keep playing. He would just go with it. And then he would memorize it. And as he memorized it, and I'm sure that, you know, later on in his life, when he became the shepherd of Israel, when he became the shepherd king of Israel, I mean, he had the time at that point to write all these songs down. And when he wrote all these songs of thanksgiving and praise to God down, You know, these songs were his gratitude journal. And then what happened was this gratitude journal became the songbook of Israel. And it's been passed down to us. And so all of these songs, these psalms, you know, are expressions, are deep expressions of gratitude, thanksgiving to God. And Psalm 139 is one of them. And this Psalm 139 starts off this way. We're going to go through it today as we look at what was David thankful for in his relationship with God. He says, "You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." You know, when I think about this first part of the psalm, I think about David expressing to God what he was thankful for. I kind of think that these words can kind of be summarized in this way. He says, "I'm thankful, God, that you are a personal God. That you're a personal God who knows me intimately. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're all-knowing." It's kind of scary, though. It's kind of scary to think of how all-knowing God is. You know, David expresses this. He says, you know my actions. You know my thoughts and ambitions. You know all the places that I hang out. You know all the patterns of my life. You know all the quirky ways. You know, a lot of us are quirky. We all have our quirks. We all have our weird and wonderful stuff, you know. And then he says, "You know all the words that I say or ever will say. You know me inside out, God. And I'm so thankful that you do." You know, as I've been considering that first thing that David's thankful for, we have to really consider what this means. You know, if God is all-knowing, if he's the searcher of our hearts, minds, and soul, what does that really mean? It means that he knows us right down to the very core of our being. There is absolutely nothing that we can hide from his gaze. And I'm amazed at how, you know, as David expresses how this, that he's thankful for this. Thankful that God knows him so intimately. You know, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, it tells us how intimately God knows us. Proverbs 15, 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." 1 Peter 3, 12 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." You know, when we think of all of these scriptures relating to how God sees us, how God knows us, knows everything about us, you know, as I said before, that can be a little terrifying. Or it can be very, very comforting. You know, a number of years ago in 1983, the music group Police, came out with a song. And some of you might know the words to the song, but it kind of reflects what, you know, what the psalmist and what all of these passages of Scripture have been saying. You know, it's kind of a cultural expression of that. You know, every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see you belong to me? My poor heart breaks or aches every step you take. Every move you make, every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching you. Now, I know that wasn't written relating to God necessarily, but you know, isn't that true about God? He knows everything about us. And you know, it is, since God knows everything about us, our good, our bad, and our ugly, here's the neat thing. We don't have to live with any pretense. We don't have to pretend to be righteous. We don't have to pretend to be good. We don't have to pretend anything with anybody. We don't have to wear a mask with anybody. We don't have to live from our false self with other people or with God. You know what? We can stop trying to look good, and we can just be good. We can be the people that God has called us to be, warts and all, quirkiness and all. Because God loves us. God knows us so very intimately, so very deeply. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly of our life. And guess what? How great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is who we are. We are known by God, and we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful. We can be the real deal with God and each other. You know, it's reassuring to know that in spite of all that God knows about us, He has declared His great love for us in Jesus. Do you know that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He made the first move towards us because he knew that there needed to be a way for us to be redeemed, and that was through Christ. So God made that first move towards us because He knows us. He knows our human nature. He knows our human weaknesses. And yet He extended His love and His grace towards us. For all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. It was a gift that He's given to us if we would just receive it and be thankful for the gift. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, we read all about this. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but God, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepares in advance for us to do. You know, today I am thankful. I am thankful that God knows who I am and that he loves me as his dearly loved child because of Christ, because I've put my hope and my trust and my confidence in Christ. Therefore, I am who I am today by the grace of God. And his grace to me has not been without effect. And the Apostle Paul recognized that. And you know what? Each and every one of us today can recognize that too, that it's by God's grace that we are who we are today. And for this, that God knows us so well and has poured out his love for us in Christ, for this, I am deeply thankful. And so was David. David was very thankful for God's presence. And then, as we move along in this psalm, what we see is that David also expresses how thankful he is for the presence of God in his life and for his watch care over him. Are you thankful for God's presence and his watch care over you? And this is what David said about that. He said, O Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the highest heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You know, what really captures me about this part of the psalm is that David is just blown away by the closeness of God's presence and his overwatch on his life. You know, David was a shepherd. David knew what it was like to be out and constantly being a presence for the sheep that he was watching. Always watching, always overseeing, making sure that there was nothing that would come that would harm the sheep. David had that overwhelming sense of God's presence with him. And he was overwhelmed with gratitude that God's presence was everywhere in his life. And he noticed that. He noticed that. He noticed that God had laid his hands on his life. You know, David recognized that God's fingerprints, his fingerprints were all over his life. I love that. I love that imagery. Like, you know, when he said, you know, your hand will hold me fast. You know, when you put your hand on something, you know, we're told by the scientific community that everywhere we go, when we touch something, we leave a little bit of ourselves behind. We leave a little bit of fingerprint, all of our fingerprints everywhere. You know, when God is present in our life, when God is leading and guiding us, when he has his hand on us, guess what? He leaves his fingerprints all over our life. Where have you been recognizing God's fingerprints on your life? How God has been touching you, shaping you, molding you. You know, it really is mind-blowing to know that God cares for us so much that through the ups and the downs, through the good times, the bad times, even during the nasty breakdowns in our life, God's grip is on our lives and is steadfast and secure. We are steadfast and secure in his grip. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, we read this. Paul, the Apostle Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced," he says, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You know, as I think about that passage from Paul, I can just picture, yeah, God, you got your fingerprints, you got your hand on me. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate me from you. Nothing. Nothing that can pull me away from you. Because you have me, not just your fingerprints on me, but you have me in your loving grip. Your loving grip. And I am thankful today for God's powerful grip on my life. And the psalmist David was also thankful for that. And then David, as we continue on, he says, "I'm thankful for God, for God who created me to be who I am. I am so thankful, Lord, that you created me the way you created me." You know, sometimes we can have that, you know, a real sense of, you know, why did God create me this way? Or, you know what, I can't do this, I can't do that. Or as we get older, sometimes we kind of go, "Oh Lord, I just can't do all the things that I used to be doing. I'm wearing out, or I'm winding down. But Lord, I'm not really content with who I am right now." You know, David says, "Lord, I'm so thankful for who you created me to be. Who you created me to be when I was formed in my mother's womb." You know, as David takes this moment, as he writes this psalm, he takes the moment to reflect on God's creativity. How God created him in his mother's womb as that unique human being that he was. He's one of a kind. Did you know that? That you're one of a kind? Every one of us here is one of a kind. There's no one else like you in this world. God created you that way. And what David says here is that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. This is how he expresses it. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, therefore, I am still with you, and I praise you, Lord, for who I am, who you created me to be. I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful that there is no one else like me because you made me that way. And now I'm thankful also that you created this, that me in this way of being. I'm grateful, Father God, that you created me to be who I am with a purpose in mind. We can see that in verse 16 where he says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. For David, he's in touch. He is touched, moved, and inspired by the thoughtful, detailed work that God has done to set out the course of his life. Did you know that? That God has set out a course for your life right from the very beginning. He shaped you, formed you, molded you in your mother's womb, and then set your life on a course. And you know, the whole journey of our life, the whole purpose of our life is to find that course that God has set for us and to get on it. Get onto that course. Follow that course. And what's really amazing is that when I'm thankful, and David was thankful that God had set his course for him to follow in his life, and when we find that, there is joy and there is thanksgiving that comes to heart and mind. And we are created initially by God in our mother's womb. But then what he said, what we were reminded of from Paul in Ephesians chapter 10 is that God has also given us the opportunity to become a new creation in Christ. When we put our faith and our trust and our hope in him, we are God's handiwork, says Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the course of our life now. God is creating us in Christ Jesus. We're reborn, we're renewed, we're set on a whole new course. And he's got new things for us to do and to be and to do for him. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, adds this to our understanding of how thankful we can be for the course that God has given to us. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is the course that God has set for our life. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, it's as we fix our eyes on Jesus that we can be thankful, we can be grateful for the course that he has set for our life. It opens up a whole new way of being in Christ. We can praise God that he is the one who set out the course for our lives. We can praise God that he is the one who is there with us every new day when we wake up, when we take a deep breath, when we open our eyes, swing our legs out over the side of the bed and set our feet on the floor. every single day, thankful. God, thank you that you have set the course of my life moving towards Jesus. Question is, how thankful are we for each new day that God has given us to be who he created us to be and to do all that he has done to prepare us for all the great, wonderful things that he's prepared for us to do for him? How thankful are you today? You know, I am deeply thankful. I'm so deeply thankful for the life that I have been given. You know, this psalm that David of David's is an amazing expression of deep gratitude to the praise of God for the fact that he knows us so deeply, that he's present in our life, that he's created us for a purpose. He's so deeply thankful. It's an inspiration. It's touching. It's moving. It's inspiring for us as we consider it. But you know, as I've always read through this psalm, I always thought, you know, if David ended his psalm at verse 18, everything would be so perfect about this song of gratitude to God. You know what I'm saying? When you get to verse 19, all of a sudden something changes. Something changes in David. He goes from someone who's really being grateful for all these things to someone who's really snarly. You know, suddenly after such an expression, you know, something happens. And the whole nature of the whole ending of the psalm just shifts around. And, you know, if it wasn't for that verse 19, this would be one of the tops of all the Thanksgiving psalms. You know, number one. But it's not. He doesn't stop there. He didn't stop at verse 18. He goes into verse 19, where he shares a very sobering thought for all of us. After such an inspiring expression of gratitude and praise, something interrupts his thoughts. Suddenly, he's overtaken by frustration, by anger, and hatred towards those who are wicked and in opposition to God. His thoughts lead him into a mini rant. He starts ranting in this psalm. The very end, he starts ranting. He's been so thankful up to this point, but now it's just a rant. And this is his rant. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. Whoa, where did that come from? You know, he's reflecting on all these really good things about God and then into this rant. You know, whenever I read that, I'm reminded that I can be like David at times. I can be so thankful. I can be so grateful for everything around me, you know, God's presence, all the good things. And then something will trigger. And then I'm off on a rant. Have you ever had moments like that? Anybody? Yeah, okay. We can be authentic, remember? No masks, right? No masks. You don't need to pretend, oh, I'm all righteous, I'm all good, I always think, I'm always thankful to God all the time. I'm just all sweetness and light all the time with those around me. No, let's not pretend. David wasn't pretending here. You know, at these moments, These moments happen more often than we really want to admit. You know, when we're worshiping God, when we're praising God, in the next moment, our thoughts are off on a tangent. That's called being human. It's called being human. You know, something gets us upset, something distracts us, suddenly we've lost that loving feeling. It's gone, gone, gone. Whoa, 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 whoa. Gone! Right? Just gone. Now, these moments happen. And when they happen, here's the good news. Here's the good news. When we recognize that we're all of a sudden we've gone from thanksgiving and gratitude to a heart that's grouchy or ranting about things, here's the good news. If we recognize, if we catch ourselves going into that place, we have a choice. We can make a choice. We can choose to declare a breakdown in that moment. When we recognize it, we declare the breakdown. All right, I've lost that loving feeling. Okay, stop yourself. Take a breath. Flip the switch. Choose to declare that as a breakdown and simply ask God to meet you in that breakdown. See, this is what David did. This is what David did after verse 19. After verse 19, or after verse 22, when he's finished the rant, he says this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting." God, you know, our life is not always lived with thanksgiving. There are times when other things break in, and we just need to declare that breakdown, and we need to just say to God, God, search me and know my heart. Test me and reveal where I'm off track. And then lead me back on course. See, this is what I'm thankful for. Is God's grace, His grace to us, that meets us in the everyday experiences of life. You know, today, you know, this is, as we've been looking at David and what he wrote on his list, I hope that you've been taking mental notes of your list today. How are you thankful? What are you thankful for today? Not just on the surface, but deep, deep down, what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for God, that God knows you? Are you thankful for His presence, His fingerprints all over your life? Are you thankful every day that He is the one that leads you on that path of righteousness? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. Follow me. And I will keep you on that path. Are you thankful for His leading and guiding? Are you thankful for His Holy Spirit? You know, we could go on and on and on, but I encourage you today to really take hold of what you are thankful for. And offer that up to our Heavenly Father with deepest thanks today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the way that You just remind us in this psalm from David that, you know, life, in our life, You are there all the time. You're present. You know us. We can't just put on a happy face and you know, be... you know, go through life just thinking that we can kind of get by with everybody else and make them think that we're okay. Lord, we thank you that you know us so very well and that you call us to a life of integrity. You call us to a life of responsibility, generosity with one another, being authentic and being thankful people for all that you have done for us. So Lord, lead us, guide us, help us. Because in this world, there's so many things that can be discouraging and frustrating. Like David expressed at the end of the psalm. But Lord, in the end, all we ask is that you search our hearts, that you know us, that you reveal anything that is keeping us back from being able to be thankful always. And so, Lord, just help us today just to be expressive of our thanks to you. And just know that you receive that thanks with love and gratitude and your grace. May your grace and peace and love abound in each one of our hearts today as we celebrate all your goodness today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.